Okay.
Completely new topic, right?
Totally new. Totally new.
Is it easier than the series?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Okay. So, some motivating. I thought, what could I do to make this technique actually motivate? The series stuff, it's the motivation is to approximate transcendental functions, exponential, sine, cosine, partial fractions. What's the motivation beyond just doing integrals? So I have to cook up an integral that's actually something you could imagine doing. So here's my little story. Okay. Let's see. It's going to be basically a logistic growth model. So there's something that's spreading amongst a fixed population, and so at t equals minus 3, 20% of the population had. In this case, has heard the joke, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it spread from 20% to 30% in 3 days.
So 20% of the whole population of the campus, student campus?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, we're going to abstract it pretty quick. Motivation. So you could ask a question. Maybe you want to say, at what point will almost everybody have heard it, right? And a simple model that could try to answer this question, make a prediction, is the logistic growth model. And the model is that the number of new hearers of the joke, right? Is proportional to, so equal to a constant that we don't know, times what? Well, the idea is how does someone hear the joke that hasn't heard it before? Someone who has heard the joke tells it to someone who hasn't. So the more people that have told the joke, the more people, they can. I mean, the more opportunities there are for them to tell new people the joke, right? But on the other hand, if almost everybody's heard the joke, then there's less opportunity for you to tell the joke to someone who hasn't heard it yet, if you've already heard it. So it seems like more people who haven't heard the joke means more opportunities. For somebody to hear the joke that hasn't heard it before, but also more people who have already heard the joke, that's more people that can tell it. So it should be proportional to both. And so proportional just means some constant multiple. This is a very simple model. And we don't know what the constant is. A course, we do have this data point that in 3 days we went from 20% to 30%. So maybe that's enough for us to figure out what the constant will be. All right. Okay, so let's put some symbols on this. So let's say t equals time in days, right? And x equals a fraction of students that have heard joke. And so the model here, I guess I need to make a, let's see here, something's, it's not quite right. We don't want to say like number of new hearers equals something times number of new hearers. We want to say people who have heard times people who haven't heard yet, right?
But
so potential new hearers, right? There's people that haven't heard the joke yet. They could hear it.
That model that you just put at the top, that is to get the answer for the question that we have in the statement, right? Yeah. Like how many days will 90% have heard, right? Yeah.
And let's say that this is number of new hearers per day.
Will the constant be 7.5% per day?
I have no idea. Why would it be 7? Why do you think 7.5?
Wouldn't it be in 4 days is 30%, so 24.
Well, it increased by 10% in 3 days.
Yes.
So a linear model would say that 3 1/3% will hear it every day. An exponential growth model would say the ratio here is 3/2, right? So an exponential growth model would say something like the cube root of 3/2 will be a multiplicative factor. So every 3 days you'll multiply by 1.5. So in 3 days from now it'll be at 45%. Right? That would be an exponential growth model. This is not an exponential growth model. It's not a linear growth model either. The problem with a linear growth model and an exponential growth model is they both predict that in a finite amount of time, you'll be over 100%, right? If you're increasing by a certain number of percent per day, in a finite number of days, you're over 100%. Same if it's exponential growth, where the fraction, you know, gets multiplied by some number that's fixed every day. So this model has the advantage that it doesn't predict that you'll ever go over 100%. Because if there are no potential new hearers, then you have a zero here, and zero times anything is zero. So it predicts you'll never get any new people hear the joke. Anyways, okay. In terms of calculus, this would say we have a constant. I'll call it k, and the number of old hearers, people have heard the joke, x, and potential new hearers, that's the people that haven't heard it yet. So, for example, when 20% have heard it, 80% have the potential to be new hearers. So 1 minus 20% is 80%, right? This should be 100% minus the fraction that have heard it. So just 1 minus x, right? So that's the model. And the idea is to, since I'm asking for a question about time and how many days will 90% have heard it, and we need to have some kind of a...
The 20 is after the k.
Yeah.
The k, I mean, you wrote dx over dt, right? And then equals kx, and then 1 minus x, so x is 20.
Well, x is going to change with time, right?
But at the beginning, x is 20.
X is 0.2. But yes.
Oh yeah, basically, mm-hmm. Technically, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so solve for dt. Okay. And so
over that.
Okay. And then we have our data point here. Right, that 3 is equal to, well, okay, let's write our data point separately, okay?
3 days is equal to the integral where you go from x equal to 0.2 to x equal to 0.3 of time. Okay?
In the beginning.
You said that x is a fraction of time.
Yeah. So from 20% to 30%, the time it took was 3 days.
Okay.
So now we have that 3 has to equal this integral from x going to 0.2 to 0.3 of dx over k times 1 minus x. Okay? And you can pull out the constant k. And so you can actually solve for k now. K will equal, like, multiply both sides, this and this, by k. You get 3k. Mm-hmm. And then divide both sides by 3. Okay. Right. So we can get the constant.
The 1/3 is from, by multiplying k and 3.
Take this, multiply by k, divide by 3. Take this, multiply by k, divide by 3. On the right side, I multiplied by k to cancel out the k down there, and then I divide by 3. On this side, I divide by 3, it cancels out the 3, and I also multiply by k.
Alright.
And, you know, I mean, if you see this, I mean, solve for k however you'd like to solve for k. If you do it right, whatever path you choose, you should end up with this.
Okay. Can you show me an example? To the 1/3, please.
Say that again.
Can you show me how you got 1/3? Please.
Okay. Yeah.
I know you did that on your mind. It's just, yeah, like basic algebra, but.
All right. Okay. How about this? K is equal to 3 times k over 3. You agree?
Yes.
All right. Now, 3 is equal to this integral. So 3 times k over 3 should equal k over 3 times that integral. Yeah? If you believe that this integral is 3, then if I multiply 3 by k over 3, should be the same as multiplying the integral by k over 3.
Like, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know how you get into k over 3.
You just hold it for k.
Okay, tell me how.
If you have 3 equals the integral from 0.2 to 0.3 dx over kx, 1 minus x. So if you wanted to isolate or solve for k, mm-hmm, you would multiply times k first, and then you will divide by 3, because you want to isolate the k.
Get that k by itself.
What's up?
Get that k by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what he's doing.
All right, so, here. All right, so, clear the fractions. Multiply, there's a fraction there. Let's kill it. All right, multiply both sides by k. 3k is the integral without the k in it. Okay. Now we've almost got k. Just have to divide both sides by 3. Now we've got it.
Thank you.
Now the other thing here is, what about the answer to our model? In how many days will 90% have heard it, okay? So what we want to know is, we want to know, in terms of our model, now, we want to know, we'll call it capital T, the integral where we go from x equals 0.3, 30%, to x equals 0.9. And we want to know, what is this? Okay? And in terms of our model here, that says that This should be an integral from 0.3 to 0.9 of dx over k x 1 minus x. And okay. And there's a 1 over k in there, right? Kind of annoying. I guess I'm going to need a 1 over k. But it would be 3 divided by this integral. So dealing with that 1 over k, that means we're going to have 3 times this integral from 0.3 to 0.9. Divided by the integral from 0.2 to 0.3.
Yeah.
So I guess I should just solve for 1 over k. Yeah. Turned out we didn't really want k, we wanted 1 over k.
Why do you want to work with 1 over k, though? I mean, k.
Well, because to answer the problem, I need the 1 over k there. Right, it's
okay, but would it be the same thing if I just use like that last fraction that you have where you have the two integrals? Or would it just be make it harder, I guess? The last part. The 3 times the integral from 0.3 to 0.9. Yeah, that one.
Well,
why are you avoiding that one?
I'm not. Why don't I just do this one, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to figure out what k is, I guess.
Oh, but we know what k is, right?
Well, we'll have to do the integral.
Okay.
You can figure out k, and then you can divide by k. Right, when you figure out this integral.
Yeah.
There's more than one way to do. The advantage to figuring out k, I suppose, is it lets you do. Basically, this is k, 3 divided by the integral.
Yes.
Well, that's 1 over k. Whenever you answer a time question, you're going to have a 1 over k in there. Okay. If there was another kind of question where it was kind of different, is asking like something like, okay, in 5 days, what percent will know the joke according to the model? Then you would probably end up wanting to multiply by k in your final answer instead of dividing by k. Mm-hmm. Anyways, the point is we're going to have to be able to do this integral. We'd like to be able to get an antiderivative of the reciprocal of x times 1 minus x.
Yeah.
Because then we can just plug in these numbers, 0.2, 0.3, 0.9, take differences. See what the model predicts. And if this was a real scenario, not just something I made up, then of course we could actually wait and see if the model was accurate. Right? A little bit of science. Yeah. Let's see what this logistic model. So the problem is, can we get an antiderivative of this? And that's where partial fractions come in.
I don't think so.
All right, so there's kind of a trick to it. Could you tell me the antiderivative of this?
It would be ln plus the integral of 1 over 1 minus x.
And this one's easy because when you're adding the fraction instead of multiplying, you can cut it up. I mean, this one here, you make a substitution. You can use a logarithm rule there. And this is ln of... that's the general integer. We only need one, so we'll probably set the constant equal to zero.
And u was...
1 minus x.
So that would be the integral?
Well, if we were adding, right? Things would be great, right?
Yeah.
But we're multiplying. And the, of course, but I never want to see anyone do this because this is a horrible, horrible calculus one mistake. That's not true, right? You can't break it up, right? First of all, you don't have dx times dx there anyway. You have one dx. Second of all, multiplication, this is a bunch of addition, right? You're adding up a bunch of fractions, right? So, and so the product of two sums, you'd have to use a distributive law. So there's so many different ways in which that is wrong.
Okay, so the solution, what you wrote over here is wrong, right?
I mean, it would be nice if we could make it like this.
Yeah, but we can.
And right. So here's the thing. If you had, think about what happens when you combine these as like terms.
We would get. All right, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Now, okay. What happens when we add them?
So we take the integral of one and the integral of the other, and then add those two, that would give us a total integral of that, right?
So these are actually the same thing. So it turns out you can actually break things up. So we actually have it, right? Of course, I just pulled a kind of a magic trick out of my hat, but there's a general method to this. But if we apply this particular magic trick here, then we can get an answer over here, right? T will be 3 times the log of x over minus x at 0.9 and 0.3 divided by the log of x over 1 minus x at 0.3 and 0.2. All right, and so you get 3 times the natural log of 0.9 over 0.7.
Oh. Yep.
Minus the natural log of
3 over... No, the first one is
0.1.
Yeah. Oops.
And down here we get 0.3 over 0.7 again, minus, now you've got to plug in 0.2.
So we can get an actual answer. If you want to use logarithm rules again, you could remember subtracting logarithms, you can just do one logarithm when you're dividing. So that's
3 and
you should do it too, so we can. Let's see, what do we got? 3 times the log. I got a little under 17.
Yeah. 16.94.
I figured, you know, I've already got a formula here that involves the k. I don't need the k. I can just work with the integrals directly.
However, can we figure out the k?
Absolutely. Do 3 divided by. Remember, this denominator is that integral.
Yes.
The 0.2 to 0.3, so 3 divided by it. Right.
So we can get them all right.
It would be the 1 over k. K is 1/3 that integral.
Yeah.
Is it just something very special about x and 1 minus x? Or can we generalize it? What if I had another integral kind of like that. For example, let's say I had The hope is that I could somehow break it up into things that would be easier to integrate. So I'd like to have some constants A and B. If I ever have another integral like this, you know, 1 over x times 1 minus x, I actually get an antiderivative of that. And what if I have something of the same thing? You know, can I do it? Let's see. We just have to combine like terms. I mean, we have to write this. Well, before we combine like terms, we need common denominator. So the first term, you know, I have to multiply top and bottom by 2 minus 5x. Then I've got to add the other one, also in the same denominator now. And what is that going to be? Well, let's see. So we put it all together. Okay. So in terms of the constants, I'm going to have 2a and 3b.
Okay. Do you want to know what a is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in terms of the x's, I'm going to have 4b's minus 5a's. All of this over. Okay. So you want this to be a 2, right? So it boils down to a system of equations. And we need this to be a 1.
Can you also use that like when you're doing integration by parts? Because like, at the end you're going to be solving for A and B, no? It's up to C when you have a third multiple.
Integration by parts was the FDG thing?
No, but it's just like from another friend that's taking calculus too also, they were doing it like that.
It's a terminology thing, but integration by parts is one thing. This is called partial fractions. And yes, this is partial fractions. Okay. This is kind of the naive way to go about. If you want to integrate this, you break it up into this. Because then you can do u substitutions and get logarithms as antiderivatives, like we did here. But the problem is, you have to figure out the magic numbers that will correctly break up the fraction. It's a system of equations. Right?
Why do you want it, though, to equal 2?
Well, I need to have this. These are the constant terms, which should be 2. Right? This is the coefficient, the constant coefficient, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is supposed to be the same function.
I see it.
So it has to actually work for all x.
Yes. So it should be only. Mm-hmm. So we can pretty much do that, right? The system of equations.
Yeah. But this is the naive way to do it. Right? There's a better way than solving the system of equations. I've been looking at it for the past minute or so now, and I think I know what the solution is. I think if you make B be 1 and A be negative 1.
No, two, yeah.
No, that's not it.
No.
Wishful thinking. That would make that 9.
They're pretty easy to solve, but yeah, this one's.
That's kind of. You can solve it, but there's a faster way.
Alright, so I'm going to take a picture.
Show you the better way to do it. You see, you can exploit the fact that we're not just doing algebra here. We've got some numbers and we add and multiply them and we have to get certain results. We're talking about not just numbers but whole functions. Right? This is an equation between functions. We're saying that for all x,
except where there's division by zero. We want this function, right? We plug in any x that doesn't cause division by zero. The output should be the same as if we plug in x to there.
Okay? Yeah. So what you want to do is think about those functions, and then in order to get actual equations between numbers, you plug in very carefully chosen x values. All right. And actually it's not enough to simply plug in a number. That can help some if you're clever, but what helps even more is to actually be using a calculus trick of taking limits. Right. It's a really easy limit, though. Okay? If I multiply both sides of this by, say, 3 plus 4x, it cancels everywhere except at where 3 plus 4x is 0. There it's undefined. Okay? But if you're looking at any x except the bad one, then this looks really nice because you just have a there. Now what I'd really like is to isolate a. I'd like to make this whole thing involving b go away. Okay? We have this concern, well, wait, we only know the equation is good when 3 plus 4x is not 0. Right? We'd like to make it 0. We'd like to plug in an x of negative 3 fourths, right? To kill off this term and isolate a.
Okay.
But we can't plug it in exact. We haven't shown that the equation is true at exactly that point. But if you look here, taking a limit, there's actually no problem. And so you actually don't have to worry. See, in this one, let me call this one star, right? After we cancel, we have an equation that we no longer know it's true at exactly negative 3 fourths, but looking at it, we see, wait a minute, there's no more division by 0 at negative 3 fourths. So actually, this, if we take this as a formula, the limit as we go to negative 3 fourths would be the same as if we just plug in 3 fourths. Okay. So actually it is true. We were worried, does it, you know, because here we're dividing by 3 plus 4x, so we didn't know what's going on. But now we've shown that actually we don't have to worry. We can just plug in negative 3 fourths. And that is, and that's the justification, which is kind of long-winded. But the actual procedure, once you know what's going on, you know, and you just want to compute it, it goes very fast. Okay. So what I do is, if I want to get A, I've got this factor, and imagine what happens if that factor wasn't there, and I plug in the negative 3 fourths, that'll kill off this. Anyways, so let me see what happens here. At negative 3 fourths, this term is just 0, so you have 2 minus 3 fourths over 2 minus 5 times negative 3 fourths is equal to A, right? Plus a big 0, because plugging in negative 3 fourths kills this off.
Yes.
Okay, so you got A. Right? So the so a short way of writing down this idea was that we had the original expression. And I'm gonna write it, and so what I do is I think of it this way. I think, okay, just pretend that's not there, right? And plug in the negative 3 fourths. That would make that 0, right? Okay. And because that's what we got here, right? 2 plus x over 2 minus 5x at 3 fourths. Likewise, B will be 2 plus x over this time 3 plus 4x, and we need to zero this out. So, so 2 fifths will zero that one out. So we got A there, and so B would be 2 plus 2 fifths over 3 plus 4 times 2 fifths. And I suppose you could simplify this a little bit. You can multiply everything by 5, and you get 10 plus 2 is 12, 15 plus 8. A, multiply everything by 4, you get 8 minus 3, which is 5. And let's see here, 8 minus 5 times negative 3, so it's 8 plus 15, another 23. Okay. So that's the better way to do it, I think. Although when it's only two equations, it's not that bad. Of course, now you can check this, right? 2 times 5 23rds is 10 23rds. Plus 3 times 12 23rds. So 10 23rds and 36 23rds is 46 23rds, which is 2.
Yeah.
4 times 12 23rds is 48 23rds. Mm-hmm. Minus 5 times 5 23rds. So 48 minus 25 is 23, and 23 over 23 is 1. Okay?
So you want us to solve that like that?
So you can solve it however you want, this is my preferred way of solving it. All right? I'm not going to take off credit if you solve it a different way. I personally find this way easier, and if there were, say, instead of two factors, if there were five factors,
okay.
Then you might see the advantage of my method.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
This over the average here is pretty easy just to compute like in the system, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have more factors,
so
we can still do
a
matrix.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see here. What's today? Today is day 41?
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Oh. It'd be like what we did here, but I'm giving you three factors. I claim that this same kind of trick, you know, throwing away a term and plugging in a well-chosen point will work.
Is there some more to partial fractions aside from this?
Well, there are other cases.
Okay.
Like, what if you had repeated factors? Or what if you had a quadratic like x squared plus 1? Right? You'd either have to break it up into x plus I times x minus I and use complex numbers, or you'd have to use a different kind of trick than simply plugging in here.